Let's go to the Lord again in prayer. Our gracious Father, once again we thank you for your mercy, for your grace, for your long-suffering in putting up with us. Thy salvation is indeed amazing, as the old song that so often sung declares. And I pray that we do not use such words as amazing so often that it loses the significance of its meaning. We're reminded that many times today people will say this or that or some such happening is awesome. But really, when it gets down to it, the only thing really is awesome is you. And I pray that we not lose sight of the significance of your being, that you become a byword. People use God and Christ and Jesus with such flippant ways and conversations that it's almost as if you're just a common thing. But this is not true. You are the one and only true God of heaven and of earth. The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. The I Am that spoke to Moses on Mount Sinai, yea, even in the burning bush that was not consumed. You are the God and Father of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And outside of Jesus Christ, there is no other name whereby men must be saved. And it is in the operation and the fullness of the second person of the Trinity, the Holy Spirit, that takes the things of thine and the things of the Lord Jesus Christ and teaches them unto your people. Help us not to take these things for granted. Help us to really be appreciative of what you have given us. And help us to apprehend, though we cannot comprehend, but bless us to apprehend somewhat of your being. And may it have such a profound influence upon us that it would cause us more and more to withdraw from the things of the world and to fellowship in the things of thine. May we always seek you first in your kingdom. May we never be guilty of taking you and your house for granted. The perishing things of this world shall vanish away. All of the trinkets and the the sentimental values of things that we hold dear to ourselves. Subsequent generations that come along, these things will have no meaning to them. Many of them will be cast aside. Of course, ultimately, all things shall be burned up. But thee and thy word shall endure forever, and the truths that are found in our souls can never be destroyed. So help us to realize and to know what is really real, what is really lasting, what gives peace and consolation. It is certainly not the wealth and the prestige of this world, but it is that contentment that is found in Jesus Christ and Him alone. Now bless us as we continue to look into Your Word. Again, we pray for those that we've mentioned who are sick and afflicted and have their various trials and diseases and infirmities. But as You have said in Your Word, someday the former things, these things will pass away. But far better than that, to behold the Lord in His glory in a sinless body, with a sinless mind and soul. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We now come to Jesus, our prophet. And we find that our prophet, first of all, he was foretold. Christ was foretold that he would appear as a prophet. In Deuteronomy chapter 18, among many other things that could be brought to our attention. In verse 15, Moses said, "The Lord thy God will raise up unto thee a prophet from the midst of thee, of thy brethren, like unto me, unto him ye shall hearken." Now, there's quite a bit said in all of this. First of all, he'll be a prophet. He'll be in the midst of the people. And he will be like unto the brethren. And he is one that we must listen to. I'll go ahead and continue reading to get to the other passage. "According to all that thou desirest of the Lord thy God in Horeb, in the day of the assembly, saying, Let me not hear again the voice of the Lord my God, neither let me see this great fire any more, that I die not. And the Lord said unto me, They have well spoken that which they have spoken. I will raise them up a prophet from among their brethren like unto thee, and will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak unto them all that I command him." Now notice, you see the whole essence of what we found in our study concerning the words and so on of prophet. Notice that it says here that he would raise him up. He would be a human. He would be like unto his brethren. He would also be like Moses. And whatever the Father tells him, whatever God tells him, he speaks. He speaks to us. And that's what we're to do. That's the reason Paul told Timothy in 2 Timothy 4:1, preach the word. And so that's what we do. We preach the word. We preach the prophecy. We preach the scriptures. And so that's what we're here for. And so he tells him that. And then he goes on and he says in verse 19, and it shall come to pass that whosoever will not hearken unto my words, which he shall speak in my name, I will require it of him. But the prophet which shall presume to speak a word in my name, which I have not commanded him to speak, or that shall speak in the name of other gods, even that prophet shall die. And if thou shalt say in thine heart, how shall we know the word which the Lord hath not spoken? When a prophet speaketh in the name of the Lord, if the thing follow not, nor come to pass, that is the thing which the Lord hath not spoken, but the prophet hath spoken it presumptuously, thou shalt not be afraid of him. And I won't take the time to turn to it, but I would remind you of Deuteronomy 13, where it talks about a false prophet, that if he prophesies a thing, and even if it does come to pass, and he tells you to go after other gods, or to believe something that is not taught in the scriptures, then that prophet at that time was to be killed in Israel. Of course, we don't kill them today, but we should don't listen to them, don't give any heed to them. And so, not only was that he was prophesied, the Jews in the day of Christ believed that such a prophet should come. In John chapter 6, in John chapter 6, well, I've written down the wrong thing. I did write down the wrong thing. Verse 14. This is after Jesus had fed the 5,000. Then those men, when they had seen the miracle that Jesus did, said, this is of a truth that prophet that should come into the world. So they were looking for a prophet. They knew that a prophet should come into the world, that God was going to send his Messiah, his prophet, going to raise up one like unto Moses. And so we see that they believed in this. I would refer you also to Acts chapter 3, which we have seen earlier. Acts chapter 3. By the way, while you're turning there, let me remind you again, which I probably should have reminded us this morning, but that our overall text in all of these on the life of Christ is Matthew 22:42. What think ye of Christ? And we saw already that the kingship, the messiahship, the sonship, the Son of Man, the Son of God, and all of that. And we also see that prophet, priest, and king is all wrapped up in this whole thing. It is important that we know the truth about this. But in Acts chapter 4, Peter and John had gone up to, Acts chapter 3, excuse me, I said 4, but I should have said 3. Peter and John had gone up to the temple, and the man that was at the gate called Beautiful was healed, and everybody saw that, and they greatly wondered at Peter and John and all that they did. And I want to go back and get some of the context. It's so good. Let's begin at verse 12. And when Peter saw it, he answered unto the people, ye men of Israel, you remember we said about the people again, we mentioned that this morning in 2 Peter 2:1. Ye men of Israel, why marvel ye at this? Or why look ye so earnestly on us, as though by our own power or holiness we have made this man to walk? The God of Abraham and of Isaac and of Jacob, the God of our fathers, hath glorified his Son, Jesus, whom ye delivered up and denied him in the presence of Pilate, when he was determined to let him go. But ye denied the Holy One and the Just, and desired a murderer to be granted unto you, and killed the Prince of Life, whom God hath raised from the dead, whereof we are witnesses. And his name, through faith in his name, hath made this man strong, whom ye see and know. Yea, the faith which is by him hath given him this perfect soundness in the presence of ye all. And now, brethren, I wot that through ignorance ye did it, as did also your rulers. Remember, wot is the word for know. But those things which God before hath showed by the mouth of all his prophets, that Christ should suffer, he hath so fulfilled. Repent ye therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. And he shall send Jesus Christ, which before was preached unto you, whom the heavens must receive until the times of restitution of all things, which God has spoken by the mouth of his holy prophets since the world began. For Moses truly said unto the fathers, a prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you of your brethren like unto me. Him shall ye hear in all things whatsoever he shall say unto you. And it shall come to pass that every soul which will not hear that prophet shall be destroyed from among the people. That's what we read there in Deuteronomy 18. Yea, and all the prophets from Samuel and those that follow after, as many as have spoken and have likewise foretold of these days. Ye are the children of the prophets, and of the covenant which God made with our father, saying unto Abraham, and in thy seed shall all the kindreds of the earth be blessed. Unto you first God, having raised up his Son Jesus, sent him to bless you in turning away every one of you from his iniquities. So here Peter was preaching that this prophet is Jesus, whom you crucified, whom you denied. And when Pilate was determined to let him go, you refused. You cried out, crucify him, crucify him, crucify him, regardless. I heard something a few months ago. Do you remember that Barabbas was in prison? And he was a murderer and a thief and a robber. And where Jesus was in Pilate's temple there, in his courtyard there, was right close to the jail. And when Barabbas heard everybody holler, crucify him, crucify him, don't you think he probably thought they were talking about him? Being in such close proximity, little did he know really what was going on. All right, in Acts chapter 7, in Acts 7, as you well know, this is Stephen's sermon, and we certainly will not take the time to read it all. But I do want to back up to get a little of the context here again. And I guess I will Starting verse 29, when Moses, after he killed the Egyptian and he left Egypt. Acts 7:29. Then fled Moses at this saying, and was a stranger in the land of Midian, where he begat two sons. And when 40 years were expired, you see, we read that in probably less than a second. 40 years were expired. A lot of living goes on in 40 years, doesn't it? Think about 40 years ago from your age now. Most of us were in our prime at that time. When I was around 40, 35 and 40, I was in my prime. And when 40 years were expired, there appeared to him in the wilderness of Mount Sinai an angel of the Lord, or at Mount Sinai, an angel of the Lord in a flame of fire in a bush. When Moses saw it, he wondered at the sight. And as he drew near to behold it, the voice of the Lord came unto him, saying, I am the God of thy fathers, the God of Abraham, and the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. Then Moses trembled, and durst not behold. Then said the Lord unto him, Put off thy shoes from thy feet, for the place where thou standest is holy ground. I have seen the affliction of my people, which is in Egypt, and I have heard their groaning, and am come down to deliver them. And now come, I will send thee into Egypt. This Moses, whom they refused, who made thee a ruler and a... Saying, who made thee a ruler and a judge, the same did God send to be a ruler and a deliverer by the hand of the angel which appeared unto him in the bush. Notice, a judge is to be a deliverer, not to be one just to be a pompous over somebody. He brought them out after that he had showed wonders and signs in the land of Egypt and in the Red Sea and in the wilderness 40 years. This is that Moses which said unto the children of Israel, A prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you of your brethren like unto me, him shall ye hear. This is he that was in the church in the wilderness with the angel which spake to him in Mount Sinai, and with our fathers who received the lively oracles to give unto us. And then Stephen goes on, and finally he tells them that it was this Jesus that was this prophet. So we see that our Lord Jesus Christ as a prophet, he was prophesied of God, and the Jews expected him to be, and ministers of the church verily showed him to be such. And then also we must look at John chapter 1 with regard to John the Baptist, that the Jews were looking for this prophet. Verse 19, John 1:19. And this is the record of John when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, Who art thou? And he confessed and denied not, but confessed, I am not the Christ. And they answered him, What then, art thou Elias? And he said, I am not. Art thou that prophet? And he answered, No. Now you know what they meant. See, they were wondering, Are you the one that Moses talked about? Are you that prophet? That Moses? You notice we read in Deuteronomy, we read in Acts, when it talked about this Moses in Deuteronomy, and in Acts it talked about that Moses. And then they say here, are you that prophet? We need to keep our adverbs in mind a lot of times when we read as well. Be good when you're reading the book of Daniel, when the enemies of Daniel, they were always talking either to the king or something, that Daniel, this Daniel, and is used as a term of derision. But anyway, back in here, and they said, are you that prophet? And he answered, no. Then said they unto him, who art thou, that we may give an answer to them that send us? What sayest thou? And he answered, he said, I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness, make straight the way of the Lord, as said the prophet Esaias. And they which were sent were of the Pharisees. And they asked him and said unto him, why baptizest thou then, if thou be not that Christ, nor Elias, neither that prophet? See, they didn't know that that Christ and that prophet were one and the same. They thought they were different ones. Then why are you baptizing if you're not the one? Why are you doing this if you're not the one? Why have you introduced something new? Now let me pause here for just a moment. And as I heard one person say not long ago, chase this rabbit that just flew by. The Protestants would have you to believe that baptism was something done by the Jews in proselyte Jewish baptism when before John took place. There is no historical record of Jewish proselyte baptism until about 150 years after John. So when you hear Protestant ministers and people talking about Jewish proselyte baptism and John was copying Jewish proselyte baptism, that is totally false. That is totally false. And if you want a good article on that, if you have John Gill's Body of Divinity in the back of it, he has a whole section on Jewish proselyte baptism which answers that. So I'll just throw that out for what it's worth for some that may be out there on the internet that might hear this. It might help them to understand the truth of the matter. All right. So we see that it's talking about, we're talking about Jesus, our prophet. He was foretold to appear as a prophet. The Messiah was, and that he would be as a prophet. Also, he, as we saw in the text, he would be raised up from among his brethren. He would be raised up from among his brethren. He, which we see and we saw already in Matthew 1:1, when it gives the genealogy of the Lord Jesus Christ, who was he? He was the son of Abraham, the son of David. He was raised up from among his brethren. And as Moses redeemed the children of Israel from Egypt, that is, he led them out, so Christ redeemed and led us out of our exodus. Look in Luke 9. Luke 9. About every opportunity I get, I emphasize this. It's such a good thing. It is something that we find that took place on the Mount of Transfiguration that is not recorded in the other Gospels. but it is recorded in Luke chapter 9. I'll begin at verse 28 to get some of the context again. And it came to pass about an eighth day after these sayings, he took Peter and John and James and went up into a mountain to pray. And as he prayed, the fashion of his countenance was altered, and his raiment was white and glistering. And behold, there talked with him two men, which were Moses and Elias, who appeared in glory, and spake of his decease, which he should accomplish at Jerusalem. Now, this word decease is the Greek word exodus. What does that sound like? The second book of the Bible, Exodus, which is what it was. It was named after the Septuagint. The Exodus. He was talking about his Exodus that he should accomplish at Jerusalem. He brought us out of captivity, the captivity of sin. Just as Moses brought us out of, just as Moses brought Israel out of Egypt, Christ brought us out of sin. See that? Now, what are we talking about? He was to be a prophet like unto Moses. Moses was raised up among his brethren. So was Christ raised up among his brethren. Moses delivered us from Israel from Egyptian bondage. So he likewise delivered us from Egyptian bondage. As Moses was faithful over his house, so Christ was faithful also. Look in Hebrews chapter 3. We're talking about this prophet that was raised up like unto Moses. See, there's a lot involved in this prophecy and in this prophet. Hebrews chapter 3, beginning at verse 1. Wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus, who was faithful to him that appointed him, as also Moses was faithful in all his house. For this man was counted worthy of more glory than Moses, inasmuch as he who hath builded the house hath more honor than the house. That makes sense, doesn't it? If somebody builds the house, do you praise the house or do you praise the man who built it? See? The one that built the house has more honor than the house. Too bad today some people value the house more than they do the builder. Verse 4, for every house is builded by some man, but he that built all things is God. And Moses was faithful in all his house as a servant for a testimony of those things which were to be spoken after. Let me pause here for just a moment. Who built the tabernacle? What do we say? We say Moses did, don't we? That was his house. That was the house that he was faithful in building. You go on and you read all of this and read others, you'll see all of that. You'll see this. But Moses did very little in the actual construction of the tabernacle. Who mainly did it? Bezalel and Aholibab. They did most of the building. God gave them wisdom. But God gave the blueprint to Moses And Moses made sure it was built correctly. The house that I'm living in, I built. I built the house. But I didn't do a lot of the construction. I drew the plans. Drew it out on a piece of paper. And that's how we put up the shell of that house, from that piece of paper, from the thing that I drew. But I hired a man to come and clear the ground. He hired somebody else that worked for under him to come and put in the slab. Then I hired a crew to come and build the superstructure. And on and on and on. I put in about all the trim of the house. Had friends come up and put the siding on and some other things. But I built the house. Because somebody said, well, where'd you get this house? I said, well, I built it. So I didn't do a lot of the hammers and nails, though I did some of it. But I built the house. So Moses built the tabernacle. He was the one that was in charge of it. He was the caretaker of it all. And we want to see this somewhat in the ministry of our prophet, the Lord Jesus Christ. Because you see, even though the Lord is in glory in His physical body, and even though He's with us in the Holy Spirit, who does He use to build the congregation of God? His people. His people. You're part of the house. You're the house of God. This building where we meet, this is not the house of God. Most people say, let's go to church. And they're talking about going to the building. But we should say what our forefathers used to say, we're going to the meeting house. Because the church is the people. Church is the people. I, as a minister, just happen to be one of the gifts of the church. And therefore, I'm just part of the church. I'm not over the church. I am a ruler in the sense that I use the Word of God to help and guide us and direct us, but I'm not elevated to the gospel. I'm separated to the gospel. So we see this, that Moses was faithful in his house. But he goes on to say, verse 5, I'll read that again. And Moses verily was faithful in all his house as a servant for a testimony of those things which are to be spoken after, but Christ as a son over his own house, whose house are we if we hold fast the confidence and rejoicing of the hope firm to the end. So the house of God are those that hold the truth of the scriptures and so on. But what I'm trying to show is that this Jesus, that is our prophet, how that he was like that prophet Moses. He was raised up, likened to Moses. And I'm showing you all these scriptures that show the fulfillment of that. So it shouldn't be any question that Jesus was the true prophet of God. Alright, Jesus as the prophet of the Lord, and as it was foretold that he would be a prophet, he spake the words of God that God gave him. Let's go back to the book of John. We'll get all of these out of the book of John. First of all, in John chapter 7. But what I want you to see, that the ministry of Jesus, he's doing the ministry as a prophet. John chapter 7. I guess it happened, didn't look right. I was in John chapter 6. John chapter 7 and verse 16, Jesus answered them and said, My doctrine is not mine, but his that sent me. What is a prophet? He's one that speaks the Word of God. He speaks the Word of God. He's to speak what God sends him to speak. You remember Elijah? God told him, said, it's not going to rain for 3.5 years. Go and tell Ahab. You know, so he went and he prophesied. The prophets, they spoke what God told them to speak. Moses, when he went in before Pharaoh, even though Aaron was Moses' prophet for him, that is, for Moses. But anyway, they only spoke what God told them to speak. And that's what a faithful prophet is. He's one that speaks the Word of God. Well, after all, is that not what a faithful minister is? He's one that speaks the Word of God. And Jesus said, my doctrine's not mine, but it's the one that of him that sent me. In John chapter 8, we see it again. Verse 28. Then said Jesus unto them, when ye have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall ye know that I am he, and that I do nothing of myself, but as my Father hath taught me, I speak these things. And he that sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone, for I do always those things that please him. So notice, as the prophet of God, he said, I'm coming, I'm speaking what he tells me to speak, and I'm doing what he tells me to do. That's what a faithful prophet is. That's like, I made reference of this last Lord's Day. I didn't take the time to turn to it, but turn back with me, 1 Kings chapter 17, I believe it is. No. Maybe it is. Where to challenge the prophets of Baal. Verse 36. This is after he had challenged the prophets of Baal. This is after he had put the bullocks on the altar, and after he had watered it down real good and everything, and the water ran out. Verse 36, and it came to pass at the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice that Elijah the prophet came near and said, now notice this, Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Israel, let it be known this day that thou art God in Israel, and that I am thy servant, and that I have done all these things at thy word. See, Elijah challenged the prophets of Baal, and the reason that he did what he did and built the altar that he did and had the water poured on and all of that, he was doing it because God told him to. He didn't just go out there and challenge the prophets of Baal on his own. He was doing what God told him to do. And that's all that a prophet does. He does what God tells him to do. And this is what our Lord Jesus Christ was talking about here in John 8. Also back in John 12. John chapter 12. I'll just read the last two verses, 49 and 50. For I have not spoken of myself, but the Father which sent me, he gave me a commandment that I should, what I should say and what I should speak. I know that this commandment is life everlasting. Whatsoever I speak, therefore, even as the Father said unto me, so I speak. That's a faithful prophet. John 12, 49 and 50. That's a faithful prophet. He tells what God tells him to say. John 15, verse 15. John 15, 15. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth. But I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father I have made known to you. Whatever the Father tells me, that's what I've said. So a true prophet is one going to speak according to the Word. And he's going to teach you what God tells you, and he's going to teach you the truth. And then John 17. John 17, verses 6 and 7. Jesus praying to his Father, and he says, I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou gavest them me, and they have kept my word. Now they have known that all things whatsoever thou hast given me are of thee. So Jesus is saying to the Father, you told me all these things to tell them, you told me what to teach them, and I've taught it to them. And when we preach and teach the Word of God, we are prophesying in the name of God. We're telling what God said. We don't have the right to say anything. Sometimes we may have an opinion about a verse of Scripture, and sometimes you all know that I'll say, well, now this is what my opinion is, but, you know, I can be wrong about this, and if you differ with me, that's all right. You know, there's some things that are that way. Some things, you know, we just have to say, like I said this morning, the Bible didn't say it, so I'm not going to say it. I don't know anything else to say than what the Scriptures say. We would like to know. You know, nobody wants to say, well, I don't know. But after I realize that I don't know, it's a good answer to a question. I don't know it. Well, better than making up something. All right. He was foretold that he would appear as a prophet, and in that he would be raised up among his brethren, likened to Moses. Next are the qualifications of a prophet, his qualifications. And we're getting kind of close here again. And if I take all of this, it will go over. So we'll just kind of close here this afternoon again in order that we not go over. Probably won't even get through next Lord's Day with being a prophet, but we might. But anyway, I hope you can see that the office of a prophet is not as obscure as it might appear on the surface. And when you see all of this, and hopefully that when you do your Scripture reading, you'll see other things. He's showing himself as a prophet. And the Word of the Lord is, Jesus Christ is our prophet. And he tells us the things of God. Let's pray. Father, our Lord Jesus Christ was prophesied in the days of Moses hundreds of years, yea, approximately 1,500 years before he came on the scene. But it happened. Our prophet, who went back to glory, said, I'm coming again. It's been over 2,000 years He's coming. We believe He's coming. And I look forward to His coming. What a sight that must be. But I pray, my God, that I look forward to Him more than the sight that it will be. Every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess. Not one shall escape. All the diabolical deeds that are being done upon this earth, every man shall give an account for each and every one, unless it was paid for by the blood of our prophet. May we listen to the words of our prophet as we read and study the scriptures. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.